The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and she's back. The stonkingly ill Jewel Serkin.
Well, not really ill, Paul Andrews.
No, you were swinging a leg, weren't you?
I was.
You skived off last week.
I was in Acapulco, you know, just as you do.
Yeah.
You know, I should realise at my ripe old age, I just have to steer clear of the NHS.
You and them don't get on, do you?
When they poke things up you know, it always causes something even worse than when you went in.
Yeah, you don't want it. You don't want it poked up you. They don't like that.
Don't. And so. And just to let the NHS know, my sample, which the new husband drove in, is still in the ether, and I've still not heard anything. So I just took 3 days of antibiotics. I took lots of herbs, though. Did you see my pot of herbs?
Yeah,
it had all sorts of things in it. Yeah. Can't remember what they all were, but plants.
Yeah.
Feeling tickety-boo now.
She has lots of things hanging around her kitchen, you know, like bits of bat and...
Eye of newt
and, you know, various toadstools and things. Yeah. Yeah, she's a bit of a witch.
Yeah, so all hunky-dory and good to be back. The saga of the Mercedes is ongoing.
It's still going?
Yeah,
You're still
ongoing.
Messing about with that?
Yeah, well, you know, the bleepers weren't working and you said hallelujah.
Yeah.
But I quite like them because I reverse into my drive. Beth knows my house, so I reverse in. It's quite narrow and I've got two pillars and stuff.
Yeah.
So I quite like them. I don't end up in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And we had to have an independent assessor around who said, oh yeah, they're not working, the bleepers aren't working, and of course the garage
do you need a lot of expertise to say that. Yep, yeah. Carnival thing.
I wouldn't stand behind him while he was reversing, put it that way. So long story short, because it is quite a long story, Paul Andrews.
It is
like a shaggy dog story. So long story short, he was the independent assessor and he said, yeah, they're not working. And we know that the insurance garage had taken off the bumper to repair it from the lady who went in it at the garden centre in Herne.
Yeah, yeah.
And then moved her car and denied she'd done it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so long story short, we'd had a lovely BMW for 3 weeks, which was electric.
Mm.
Although we did have to recharge it a lot, I found. Whereas my Merc is really eco-friendly.
Your Merc isn't electric, though. It's diesel.
No, that's what I mean. But it's better. Because I hardly have to fill it up. It was more economical. They say electric is, but it's not. It was tenner a day. Anyway, long story short, then he spoke to the garage.
Yeah.
And then he said, it could have been like that before.
Right.
So we then had to take it to Mercedes in Sturry or wherever it is for them to do a report to say that it was working the last time we had it there.
So
I sat there. They told new husband I'd be there an hour.
Yeah.
I sat there for 3 hours. After the medical procedure, where I was told to drink lots of water to flush out my...
They haven't got a toilet either, have they?
Well, they have got a toilet, but I was so bored. I was there for 3 hours. I was so bored. It was a little coffee machine, Beth. Rachel, little coffee machines. I was having a little coffee, then I had a hot chocolate, then I had a coffee. I wasn't flushing my things out, was I? My holes, my whatever they are, my urethra. So then, raging.
I love her. Urethra Franklin, she's brilliant, isn't
Great
she?
Great singer, always one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, the report from the Mercedes was the sensors are not working.
No.
And they were working when we had it. Mm. So now it's back with the... It's ridiculous.
Oh.
So I blame them for my urinary tract.
Yeah.
What's it called? A UTI. I blame
the garage. Yeah.
And also those little sachets. I had to go out and get them from the little sachets that you take. Every woman listening will know my pain.
What little sachets?
Well,
sugar.
You take little... No, they're little sachets that I guess they're alkaline. They're salty, I think. And they are supposed to help you not burn when you pee.
I don't want to know. I was going to ask the question like how you apply them, but then I thought, I don't want to know.
I really don't
want to know.
You drink it.
You drink it.
Right. And then I got cranberry juice as well. I did all the things you're supposed to do. And I never have saccharin. I hate saccharin. I'd rather have a full-fat Pepsi if I'm going to have a Pepsi. I prefer Pepsi to Coca-Cola. I will have a full-fat one very occasionally, you know, like on holiday I might have one or, you know, maybe twice a year I'll have a Pepsi. And it brings back memories of when I was a kid and you'd sit in the back of the car while your mum and dad were in the pub for 5 hours with a bag of crisps and a bottle of pop with a little straw in a glass bottle.
Mm.
God knows what we did for 4 hours, but we just sat there and eat crisps and whatever. But anyway, so this said no sugar, this cranberry. And the taste of the saccharin, I must have good taste buds, but I can get that taste. Like, there's an aftertaste. It's got, and you drink a lot of that.
I drink a lot
stuff.
Of what?
Your sugar-free stuff.
Yeah.
You can't taste the saccharin. I can really taste that aftertaste.
It's spumante or whatever it is, isn't it?
Yeah, aspergillus.
That's it.
No, it's ghastly, I would call it.
No, it's Fanta.
I get a real back taste
Fanta
from it.
Fanta on a can.
Can't have it. So I've got a half a carton of cranberry in my fridge if anybody wants it, with aspartame in it or whatever it is.
Right, can I have a rant now?
Yeah, go on.
I want a rant.
And you've got a 4-week cold as well.
I know. I need a rant about Ashford Council. Evil they are.
Tell me
evil.
What have they done now?
Well, you know, I'm building at Tenston, and we're building 4 new build office blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The council suddenly sent me a bit. We're still building them. Yeah.
Yeah.
2 of them haven't got roofs on. Right. They sent me a council tax bill. Yeah. Hold on. It's not even finished, let alone got any tenants. And they went, we consider it finished as soon as it's watertight. I mean, it's leaking.
Well, it's roofless.
No, it's quite strange.
You're acting ruthlessly.
No,
but it can't be watertight if you've got no roof.
Yeah, well, 2 of them haven't got roofs, and the other 2 we're just fitting out.
Yeah,
right. So I'll get into a big row with them over that, and they insist they're going to take me to court if I don't pay the bill. So we've got a $5,000 bill, $5,000, for an empty building. Okay, so I get through arguing with them that. A week later, I get another one for the next building.
No,
you go. There's no.
I tell you, you might as well stay in bed, Paul.
It's
not worth getting out.
It's pointless trying to run a business with local authorities. They just aren't remotely interested in helping. All they want's money.
Money,
yeah.
Exactly.
And you know, I'm going. The planning inspector hasn't signed the building off to allow us to occupy it yet. Don't care. You have to pay business rates.
And you're not earning a business. Yet.
I haven't got any income at all. And do you know what really annoys me about this is you don't actually get anything for the money. They don't even collect your bloody rubbish.
No.
Because you're a business, you know, you have to have commercial clearers.
Well, I was talking to a friend who runs 3 businesses, and you'll know who she is after the show. But she, I was seeing her yesterday.
Hmm. Yeah.
And she was saying that just her Faversham business alone, with the new wage increase, the minimum wage, for her over 21 staff, her new bill for that will be over $9,000, and that's without paying national insurance and all the other malarkeys. She said that she cannot put her prices up anymore. She's already put them up with electric and everything else, or people just won't go. So she's going to have to make a couple of staff redundant. And she spent years trying to find those staff and train them, but she can't afford a $9,000 bill.
I've had this argument with so many people when they talk about cost of living and everything. We don't have a cost of living crisis. We have a cost of government crisis.
Mm.
Yeah. The government takes money from everybody and then splurges it up the wall on nothing in particular. The more money they take, the worse our public services get.
Yep.
There's no delivery of public service. They're all messing about. Unbelievable. I mean, Tenterton, $17,000 per building is what they want.
That is crazy.
That's £68,000 a year. To
for
do
a
what
small
exactly?
Business.
Yeah, but to do what? What am I getting for that?
Nothing.
Absolutely
you're
nothing.
You're already paying your electric, your water, your rate.
I pay all the utilities. They don't collect rubbish from commercial sites. You have to pay for that to be done. So they go, well, yeah, but, you know, you get the police. Oh, right, yeah. We've been burgled 3 times. They haven't turned up once. Yeah, they just send you a bloody crime number and tell you to claim it off your insurance.
Yeah, to stamp the builder yourself.
Yeah.
Other methods are available. Did I tell you, was this off air? I've lost track. I haven't taken my lion's mane mushrooms this morning. This is
your lion's what?
My lion's mane mushrooms.
It's not the weather for ice creams.
No, lion's mane mushrooms.
Oh, lion's mane. I thought you said lion's mane.
They make you a bit perky. No, too cold. Did I tell you about trying to cancel my national health appointment this morning at Margate Hospital?
Yeah.
So the new husband answered the landline and it was a robot saying, I've got an appointment.
Yeah.
Date of birth and all that. Doesn't tell me what the appointment's for, and I've got a lot going on because of AstraZeneca injury.
Yeah. Don't tell which end to present.
No, I don't know which end. But I don't know what department or anything. So I Googled, there's no way to cancel because I wasn't on the phone. So Gav's just written Margate Hospital 10:30 tomorrow. I said I can't go. So I Googled Margate Hospital number, hung on for 4 minutes where they're, you know, talking. And then I eventually, it said, we don't understand you, the robot, because I was going, what department? I was going, I don't know. Sorry, we don't understand you. Say again. I don't know. So in the end, we're going to transfer you to an operator, said the robot.
Oh, no.
So another 4 minutes, I went to an operator and I said, I don't know what it's for. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. I need to cancel it. So he put me through to another robot. Mm. He couldn't do it. And that robot said, if you're abusive, because I was feeling really abusive.
They've met you before, have they?
Yeah. If you're abusive, we will terminate the call. And I would have gone, look.
How can you be abusive to a robot?
Yeah, well, no, because it was going to...
Listen, Tim Brain.
It was eventually going to put me through because I didn't know, you know, who to talk to. But you're going to be frustrated by the time you've done that. Just want to speak to a person.
Any organisation that has a sign on their wall...
Now your fingers come out.
Yeah, any organisation that has a sign on a wall or an automated message that says abuse won't be tolerated, you know straight away that they don't provide any customer service whatsoever because they're forever being abused because they're so frustrating to deal with.
Exactly. So I still haven't... Sorry, Margate. I still haven't managed to. I will try and do it online or whatever.
I told you about my mum as well.
Imagine if you're 93... trying to do that and it says go online. I don't know which department or anything.
18 months ago my mum got this letter. She was to go to Maidstone Hospital for a consultant's appointment, and I read the letter and I thought, she doesn't need to do this because they've taken so long to make this appointment. She'd already been in hospital, and the hospital had already sorted it out because she'd been in hospital for 6 months, so the only contact on there, and it said, we've had loads of problems with people missing appointments, so if you can't make this appointment, please call our cancellation appointment cancellation line, and it gave a number. I rang the number and I said, I'd like to cancel an appointment, and they go, you can't. I go, why? They said, you can't do that here. We can't cancel that. I said, you're a cancellation line. Yeah, I know. But you have to talk to the consultant directly. I said, how would I do that? I don't even know who it is, let alone their contact number. Well, we can't help you. And then they moan like mad that people don't turn up for appointments.
It is really crazy. And you know...
What should we moan about now?
Well, I was just about to say, on a positive note, the staff, when I had my procedure, were absolutely lovely. They were just
lovely.
It's not
lovely. Their fault. It's punishment. I've told you this before.
I had a lovely Egyptian consultant. A lovely long chat with him.
Did you?
And the nurse was really sweet. So, you know, it's not the staff. It's the management and the whole...
My hairdresser will
text me to remind me of an appointment, and I can just go yes or no.
Yeah.
My hairdresser has a better system than the NHS. Get it together, guys, because it's just...
It's management procedures. I've told you this. It's not the staff. It's not their problem. They are as frustrated as anybody else with the way that that management implement non-procedures. I did a management consultancy assignment for 7 months on two NHS trusts 25 years ago, and everything I wrote in my report is still a thing in the NHS. They haven't addressed any of the issues because the NHS is not patient-focused. It is focused entirely on itself. And its own internal things, and its only its internal box ticking.
And if you've just tuned in,
this is the weekly rant.
Well, just before you play your cheesy tunage, my mum Ruth, who's 93, talking about ruthless and being ruthless. So, but she had two dental implants in to keep her lower denture in place, which was really expensive. The guy has now retired. She's now going to see another guy. Every few weeks she seems to be going and they fiddles with them. She just paid £75 and they're flapping as she comes out of the thing. Mm-hmm. She pays her £75. So I phoned them up and I just said, she's, you know, you've charged her £75. They're rolling all over the place. She's embarrassed to go out and eat. It's affecting her. So she's now got a bill of like £2,500 to fix it and have new dentures. Mm-hmm. They're only 5 years old. Our pensioners have to, and now she has to have a hearing aid. The NHS one doesn't work. She can't hear a thing. She doesn't keep it in, makes her ears itch. So she's now going to, I'm going with her on Thursday to have a private one. You know how much they cost.
Yeah, I'm still saving up for mine.
It's nearly £3,000. Mm. She's a pensioner. It is bonkers. Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
So start saving now, Paul Andrews.
I want, my dad was deaf from birth, and I once added up how much he'd spent on hearing aids in his life, and it came to over £700,000.
And they didn't work, because I sat next to him at a party.
And none of them worked, because
you
couldn't hear a blooming thing. Right, anyway, let's do some positive things now.
We've had
a tweet from Construction Expo.
Yeah.
At Construct Expo is a Twitter handle. Our fantastic super early bird offers for stands. These are exhibition stands at the Southeast Construction Expo 2024, which is taking place on Wednesday, the 1st of May. But you need to plan in advance. Yeah. There's an early bird offer for stand bookings, and the early bird offer ends on the 31st of December. It's free for visitors to attend the event, and there's free unlimited parking. It's at the Jockey Club at Sandown Park.
I say.
Yeah. Where it's taking place. So if you follow them, if you want to book a stand, if you follow them on Twitter, Construct Expo, you can find all the links to go through and book your stand at the Southeast Construction Show 2024.
Tracy Ferguson is listening in and live, and she says, I'm tuned in live for some cheery, cheesy tunage and lively Bee Bunker using the Bee Bunker hashtag chat on this grey and rainy day. You can find Tracy on Tazy64 on the Twitter. She is the owner of Plucky's World, and her website is pluckysworld.com. I was going to say that my new husband is also in the doghouse because he's removed my umbrella yet again from my car. Keeps doing this.
What's he done with it?
And it's raining. He puts it in the hall stand, by the hall stand, for some reason.
Don't you see it on the way out?
No, I do lots of things on the way out.
So you're too busy yakking, aren't you?
No, I'm a woman. I'm multitasking.
She's got her breakfast in one hand, a pint of Prosecco in the other, because it's breakfast time. A pint of Prosecco in the other hand, yeah, and toast in her mouth, and she doesn't look at the umbrella.
So hello, Tracy, if you're listening.
Chips and Dinks have been on. I want to say, this is Bev, but it was Tony's birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday,
Tony, for yesterday.
Yeah. He was having fun, wasn't he?
He certainly was.
Breakfast and dinner and lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Bev has tweeted, it's just one more show before Santa, Business Bunker, and what Christmas goodies will be in the studio today? Well, we've got three ladies.
Yeah. Ladies.
Ladies. There's no goodies, though.
No. Well, Tim, what was his name? Tim Buck Taylor or Tim somebody Taylor.
Tim Brook Taylor.
Yeah, he was a goodie.
He was indeed a goodie. And Graham Garden and Bill Oddie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the days.
Yeah, no, we haven't got any cakes. She's got a picture of Swiss chocolate Swiss roll, you see.
I would love that. We have got quite decent biscuits today, though.
What we got?
Yeah, well, they're better than usual. I think because it's getting Christmassy. There's a bourbon or bourbon, however you say it.
Mm.
And there's a little sort of coconutty one with chocolate lining inside. And then I've got my name on it. There's like a shortbread biscuit with chocolate coating on the other side underneath.
Mm.
So, yeah. But I think Beth wants that one, Bethany. Martin Reeves has tweeted using the Bee Bunker hashtag. He's listening in the loft. He's listening live.
Mm.
I'll read out what he does in a minute. But he says, talking about the hospital thing, last year Maidstone Hospital phoned us to swap an appointment as a lady had to attend a funeral. So we swapped. We went to the later appointment, and because the lady had not attend our original appointment, they cancelled ours when we attended. They got there for nothing.
I thought he was going to say they only insisted on treating them for what the other person had.
that would be
hilarious, wouldn't it?
It surprise me,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah.
Martin Reeves is, you can find him.
I had that with my mum.
You can interrupt if you like.
Yeah, sorry, I will. I had that with my mum's GP. The GP said, we need to see your mum, because they've done some tests and we got the results of the tests. So I go and collect my mum and I take her to the GP, sir, and we wait and we go in to see the GP. And she goes, right, what are you here for? We go, well, you asked us to come. Did I?
She needs lion's mane.
Yeah. Why did I do that? I don't know, but I suspect that you got the results of a blood test. Have I? And that was it. She couldn't find the results, so we left again.
Honestly, you have to do it yourself. Martin Reeves, you can follow him on the Twitter at Collectors Buddy.
Mm.
And he is the founder of Collectors Buddy with hidden disabilities and mental health, seeking a salary to get off his disability. And he wants to fundraise for charities. And what he does is he finds TV and film and old toys and, you know, from the
60s. Lego and Mikado.
Yogi Bears. And
bits and collectibles.
Yeah, children's toys. And also also props and sells them on. So you can follow him.
And donates the profits to charity.
To charity. Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. So he's based in Kent. I guess he'll be anywhere because he's got a website. So it's collectorsbuddy.org.uk. Give him a follow at collectorsbuddy.
Yeah. It's Cheesy Tunies time, but because it's December, we have to the law that we have to do Christmassy
nice,
songs.
This one. I dreamt it was Christmas.
Yeah, you did. You and Greg Lake.
Yeah, Greg Lake. Yeah, lovely. Don't talk about waterworks, though, will you, Lake? Nice song, then.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining, a veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, and the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell, and eyes full of tinsel and fire. They sold me a silent night. They told me a fairy story, till I believed in the Israelite. And I believed in Father Christmas, and I looked to the sky with excited eyes. Then I woke with a yawn in the first light of dawn, and I saw him in through his disguise.
Works at the Dockyard Church, Garrison Road, Sheerness, a community workspace and coffee shop. Check our website, islandworks.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Meet Holly. She's got a job, but she's unhappy for many reasons. She doesn't earn much, her manager doesn't support her, and the job has no future. But then she found jobsinkent.com. It's Kent's largest job site with over 25 years' experience. It covers all industries and sectors and has permanent, contract and part-time positions. Want to know more? 1. Visit jobsinkent.com. 2. Search jobs by industry, location and keywords. 3. Find thousands of jobs for you. And 4. Apply direct to the employer. Now she has a better income, she feels valued by her employer, and she's building her career. So, what are you waiting for? Visit jobsinkent.com today.
There you go, Greg Lake, I Believe in Father Christmas. Wasn't very cheesy, it was very Christmassy.
Yeah, it was nice. I like Greg Lake.
He says the same about you.
Yeah, he's always like me. Going through the Twitter here, we've got a little email from Tenterden Chamber of Commerce. I wonder how Terry Thorpe is. I haven't seen him for a while. Last Friday, we were busy handing out the prizes to this year's winner of the Christmas window display competition. Tenterden Mayor, who's Councillor Sue Ferguson. Do you know her?
I do.
I think I met her at your gig, your opening gig.
Yep.
You
could tell she had a big chain around her neck.
Yeah, and she could hardly walk. She was dragging through the door where they were so heavy.
Yeah.
There were so many wonderful and creative windows again this year, they say, really adding a festive cheer to the atmosphere. So well done to everyone who received prizes from the Mayor, Sue Ferguson, and thank you again to everyone who took part. And number one was the Rising Star. Is that a pub or a restaurant?
It's a pub.
Is it a nice pub?
Do you know, I've never been in it.
Is it a free house?
Do you know, I've never been in it.
We could go for our Christmas. We've got to have a Christmas party, haven't we? You know, Channel Radio Christmas party.
Well, me and you.
No, Channel Radio, there's a few other people. Yeah. Craig Avery, is he here? Is he
we used to have a Christmas party years ago.
We did. We were like 30 of us at one stage. Anyway, so the Rising Star, we don't know if it's a free house or not. I'm very fond of a free house, Paul Andrews.
It's in Rolvenden, if you want to know.
Okay. Where's that?
On the outskirts of Tenterden.
I'm just winding you off, I know.
No, you don't. You haven't got a clue where it is. She's lived in Kent 142 years. She still thinks it's pronounced Igatum and West Malling. Yeah.
I know vaguely. Yeah. You go to Tenterden, past your house.
And Trotterscliff and places, yeah.
Past your house and turn right and down a country lane. Yeah. Then you got number two, second, was the White Lion. Is that a free house?
The White Lion is fabulous. It's in the high street in Tenterden.
Is that a free house?
I don't know. I don't drink alcohol. I don't worry about whether it's a free house or not.
This is your trouble. You know, I like to know if it's free house. I only like free houses. Anyway, number three.
Oh, free houses. No, there's only one.
In at number three, she said, ignoring him, ABS blinds. I know what they do.
They're not a free house.
No.
No.
Do they make blinds for windows?
No. No, to guide dogs. Yeah, of course they make blinds.
And then the runner-up with a hashtag one is the Cranbrook Bakery. Now, I bet they do donuts.
Yeah, and that's in Tenterden High Street.
Yeah, I know where that is. What? I've been there, Tenterden High Street.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that.
It's next to Rolvenden.
Because it's called the Cranbrook Bakery, but it's not in Cranbrook, it's in Tenterden.
Why do they do that?
Because they got a branch in Cranbrook as well.
Well, why don't they call one and one the other?
Because there's a Tenterden Bakery opposite already.
Oh, they don't want to upset them.
Yeah.
Cool, you've got two bakeries in the High Street.
We've got three.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you got a Greggs yet?
No, we don't have things like that.
That's
we don't.
So good.
We don't have High Street multiples.
That's so
the only
good.
High Street multiple we've got is Boots. Oh, and Smith's.
Or Smith. Oh,
W.H. Smith's.
Yeah, are they still going?
Yeah, kind
just
of.
Just about.
It's tat.
Hey, can you get a book in there?
I don't think they sell, but I don't know.
Looking for a journal
I thought you were going to say German for a minute.
No, I'd like one of those as well.
Get on with it. I want to talk to Beth.
Just because I like the Lederhosen. But, let me tell you, hang on, because you're diversing me.
Yeah.
Runner-up. It's got a hashtag too. I don't really know what that means. But it was Hop, Stitch and Jumper.
See what they did there? Yeah.
Yeah, what is that? Is it a jumper shop?
No.
Or is it a crochet shop?
That's a pub. It's Freehouse.
Is it?
No.
Is it a needlework craft shop?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I love that. Hop, Stitch and Jumper. Because it could be an ale house if it was Hop.
Yeah.
Not sure about this. So you could go in there and sew.
Yeah,
it could be a Hop, Stitch ale house.
Yeah, it could be. But it's not.
It's a craft place. Do you go in there? A little needle
often.
And thread?
Often. I'll buy all my knitting needles in there.
I was saying something poignant before that.
Oh, I don't know. Shut up.
It's all gone haywire. Yeah. Shall we talk to Beth?
Yeah, let's talk to
Someone
Beth.
Someone sensible.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Beth Nightingale onto the show. The last time we were on the show, we were under a duvet, weren't we, Beth?
That sounds a bit...
Yeah. Sadly, not together, but in completely different places. But, we had to do a remote show and the acoustics were a bit Neff, weren't they?
Yeah. Head in a box.
Mm.
Kind of in COVID, I think.
Yeah, it was.
So, it's very interesting to be talking to you under a duvet, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. Beth, welcome back, though. It's lovely to have you, and it's lovely to have you in the studio. Beth is from the Focus Mind, which is a kind of new venture for you, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Very exciting adventure. And I think after the conversations we've had this morning, part of what we're looking to do is help people to move forward in 2024 with a positive mind.
Mm.
There's so
much. You've got your work cut out with us, I can tell you.
I'll see you after the show, Paul.
Yeah, yeah. And two Oakham Mountains, we're worse than Stadler and Waldorf, we are.
So the Focus Mind is a counselling and life coaching business. Obviously based in Kent.
Yep.
We look after, obviously, our clients who are looking for change, looking to find out why they are saying and doing the things that they do, and trying to look for positive opportunities to be able to change their world in 2024.
So absolutely.
So how do you start working with someone? Do they come to you and tell you their life story?
So the initial conversation would be that they're interested in something. They may be not quite sure what they're looking to do, or they may sadly have had something happen to them that they may need to talk through. So step one would be a discovery chat, where we can obviously talk to them and find out a little bit more, obviously discuss with them that we're obviously looking at making sure that we can go forward with them, because they might not want to be able to work with me. But let's hope they will. So from our side, it's a discovery chat.
It's a good point that you make, though, Beth, isn't it? Because it is a very personal thing.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And you have to feel comfortable with the people. And the same for you. I mean, as a therapist, you have to feel that you can work with someone. You know, if you had a client that was particularly difficult, that wouldn't speak to you, that, you know, won't tell you anything, then there's very little you can do really to help.
I think obviously being non-judgmental from our side, having the empathy and the understanding, but I think from the client side, it's very much making sure that they have got the commitment that they want to make changes, because there's only so far I can take a client, but without that commitment, obviously, to move it forward, we're going nowhere.
And what type of counselling are you doing? Is it psychodynamic?
So we're offering lots of different types of counselling, and obviously every client will be different, so we're not looking as a one size fits all. So some clients may come to me who are looking for life coaching, which may be just a particular subject. It may be that they're struggling within their work and they just would like us to sort of support them on that side. There may be, and of late, certainly the last couple of months, it's been very much anxiety led. And I think with everything that we're talking about today, the world is creating a lot of anxiety.
Tell me about it. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's how to manage that effectively and in a positive way.
So you're giving them tools to manage the anxiety.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of talk about that, actually. And you've kind of raised it yourself already. But it seems to me, at least anecdotally, looking at the world today, and the fact that she rants every week about something or other, there is a lot of anxiety about, isn't there? You know, we have a cost of living crisis. People are suffering. People are struggling. There's things in our society. I don't want to get too political about it, but there are things in society where you just think this is bonkers.
And we
this
can't
is completely
do anything
bonkers,
about it.
And you're not even allowed to say it's bonkers. Yeah. And that puts enormous stress on people, because you're disorientated. You don't know where you are. And I know you have a background previously in previous careers in property. I spoke at an event a few months ago, a construction industry event, and I was staggered by the fact that somebody there told me that more than 700 people have committed suicide in the construction industry in the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. That's frightening. That is incredibly really scary.
Yeah. And I think that's why, you know, as a company, we're not looking to necessarily do the standard. We are actually looking to mix it up a little bit. And I think the stereotypical counselling session would be in a white room with a clipboard, the counsellor would be have a, the tissues on the table and she'd have the clipboard and then she'd be counting down the hour. So part of the Focus Minds directive is that we're going to be taking it outside and we're going to be offering nature and walking therapy. Where I think it's been long overdue for young adults to be out, not in the TV screens or on their mobile phones, but to really take it back. So last week I was actually on my first mindful walk over on the North Downs in Wye. It was freezing cold, it was snowing, it
blew the cobwebs away, did it?
Oh my goodness, yeah, absolutely. And we had a moment down in the valley where we just all stood and just stopped for 5 minutes.
Is this a group thing, Beth? Or?
Yeah, it's a group thing that we've started. We've got our next walk actually on the 6th of January, which is going to be taking place from Herne Bay. We'll be stopping at Reculver Castle for some mindful work.
That's beautiful.
And then
area.
We'll be walking to Minas Bay and catching the train home.
Okay. So, during the course of the walk, are you basically just getting fresh air and exercise and feeling good about what's going on around you, or do you actually talk about things while you're walking?
So this particular walk is actually a group walk, and surprisingly, even the walk in Wye, because of what I do for a living, within half an hour people were talking to me about the anxiety, the depression, the fact that they are anxious, that they're eating more, drinking more, smoking more, and it was very much me sort of working with them to just ask them to breathe and just take a moment. So I think, you know, that's part of it, but we will be looking at group sessions that will be dedicated to my weight loss and drinking, smoking, etc.
Nail biting is another thing, or one-to-one sessions, or any ism, you know.
I think that's the thing, there's a lot of isms out there, unfortunately, and nail biting is a big one.
I don't want to preempt it, because I don't know, this is just, you know, based on my own observations. It seems to me, though, that most isms have a similar root issues, which is you've got into a habit of doing something that you find hard to break.
So yesterday I was actually put my first, we were actually doing a Mindful Monday from January, where I'll be going on and asking people just to think. And this week our first one was ask yourself the question before Christmas and after, why? Just why? Why do you do the things you do? Why do you feel the things you feel? Why do you speak the way you do? And really drill down as to why you do pick up that bourbon biscuit, for example, and eat 10 and not just one. You know, why do you work?
She's been following me around.
Why do you do a job that you absolutely despise and it's making you miserable?
Yeah.
Change it. Do something different.
It's funny, isn't it, how as human beings, it's almost like this boiling frog syndrome, isn't it, where you sit in a frog in a, apocryphally, you sit a frog in a pan of water and it boils to death eventually. We will recognise problems, but we won't actually take actions. So many years ago, 25, 26 years ago, I decided to give up smoking and drinking on the same day. And I was a very, very heavy smoker, like 80 a day. And I'd read a book by Alan Carr called The Easy Way to Give Up Smoking. I don't know if you've come across it. And it just worked for me. I read that book and I stopped both on the same day. And I've never done either since. I've never had a withdrawal since. Nothing. I just give up. But it's about getting your mind in the right place.
I think mindset is the biggest thing. And I was working with a client only a few months ago who sadly had severe OCD. She had over 15 compulsions and that was taking her over 3 hours of a night time to get to bed. Really severe. Hadn't been out for 6 years.
So that's just checking cookers and lights and
everything. Obsessed, just crazy.
I do that, you know. I'll go to the back door and make sure it's locked and the outside light's off. And I walk into the living room and I go, I need to go and check again. And I know damn well I've checked, but you have to go and do it again. It's crazy.
And I think that comes from an event for her. Sadly, it had been a passing of a family member, and she was worried about her dog, that her dog might pass. So this was all part and parcel of her checking and rechecking to care for her
dog.
So
it was a trauma experience.
So and we worked with her, and part of what we do is a 6-week session. So each week we can either go in her own home, which is what we did with her because she didn't want to go out. We'll obviously do nature therapy. We can do it online, and obviously we can go to a particular studio as well. So I just wanted to quickly read, if I can, her testimonial, because it just really encapsulated what work we do and how and why I do what I do now. And it says, realistically, if you're looking to I'm just having a look, actually. I don't know that. No, I don't think I've brought it with me.
Oh, that's a shame. I can't do it. Oh, but you can tweet us. No, I can.
It says, I was very apprehensive before my first session due to my acute anxiety. However, Bethany put my nerves to rest immediately. She was professional and very caring and full of empathy. Thanks to Bethany's efforts, I am now OCD free and would highly recommend her to anyone who is suffering from any stress-related illness. Thanks, Bethany. You're a star. So I've actually contacted her this week, and she's having her first weekend away with her partner in 6 years. So people ask me why I'm doing this job.
That's beautiful.
That's why. So, yes.
So she's able to now really flourish and do
she tackled her OCD. She learned to sit with the anxiety, and she learned to address the rationale side of what she was doing, and realised that, you know, nothing bad was going to happen, but she needed to sit with that anxiety.
The human brain is a massively complex thing. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredibly powerful thing. But one of the problems is that that power can corrupt itself, and once it does, it's incredibly hard to get out of it, isn't it? You need to use the same techniques that got you into it to get you out of it, really. But it's a really weird thing, isn't it? I have this habit when I'm stressed of grinding my teeth. Okay. And I'll lay in bed grinding my teeth, and it hurts like hell. And I know I'm grinding my teeth. Yeah. And I'm going, but I don't want to be stressed. And I'm not deliberately thinking about anything that's stressful at the moment, but I'm still doing it. And it's just really weird where you can actually almost step outside yourself and see yourself still doing it and still not be able to stop, you know, and you just think, don't be stressed, just go to sleep.
Meditation is something that I use on a daily basis.
Right.
And I would urge anybody to start considering taking time out, particularly at night time, and also have pen and paper by the bed.
Okay.
Because we all live busy lives. We've all got stuff running around in our heads. But to be able to just clear the mind and to be able to just write it all down, get it all out, and then go into a different place, which is what meditation does, that really helps.
Absolutely. Do you use a particular school of meditation? Personally, years ago, I went on a mindfulness course, and I tend to use mindfulness techniques if I want to try and do something like that.
I think there's a lot about breathing. You know, people tend to forget how to breathe. And
how effective breathing is. Which is the essence of a panic attack. Basically, it's just shallow breathing. Yeah.
Years ago, when I taught yoga, many years ago in Whitstable and London,
yoga bio that was.
It was my class was an hour and a half of hatha.
That was an hour of talking and half an hour of yoga.
In the end, just ignore my COVID center. In the end, the ladies that used to come would actually want the savasana at the end, the long relaxation. It was 20 minutes. And that, to them, was the most important part. The breathing, the relaxation techniques that we use were more important, almost, than the exercises. And it got to the stage where they would ask for longer. So we were doing half an hour of just lying on our backs on the floor and breathing and stuff. So incredibly powerful breathing.
I think that's what, you know, 5 years ago, I gave up drinking 5 years ago, smoking 15, 20 years ago, coffee 10 years ago. Fizzy drinks, Paul.
Cheers.
About.
Well, that's the saccharine is terrible stuff.
So, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? You know, why do we do the things? Why do we eat the things that we do? You know, if we want to feel and be better, we need to do different things. Because if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to get the same results.
But we're surrounded by
TV,
fast food, and you know, we are, really are. It's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
Food.
And, see, that does me. I'm currently intermittent fasting and losing weight, but it gets to a point, and I'm reasonably good at doing it, yeah, but it gets to a point where I just get absolutely bored.
Find your why.
I beg your pardon? I think I lost it.
Find your why.
Right.
Why are you giving up and doing the things you're doing?
Why am I bored? Yeah, I'm bored of the food, yeah. Because I eat less than 1,200 calories a day, I know what constitutes 1,200 calories and has the most bulk in it for 1,200 calories, if you see what I mean. So I eat lots of soup and things like that. Don't eat bread, don't eat potatoes, don't eat pasta.
So you cut your carbs?
But not just to cut the carbs. It's one of those... sadly, I know the calorific content of every food group there is on the market, yeah. If you want to eat less calories, if you want to consume less calories, you have to eat carrots and celery and stuff like that, which is great for the first few months, but then it gets boring, and you get to the point where you go, I don't even like McDonald's, but I want a McDonald's just because it's totally different.
Yeah.
But then if you have a McDonald's, in my case, I haven't had one for about 20 years, but if I had one, I would still feel hungry. I would want another McDonald's.
Yeah, but it's not about hunger. No. It's about relieving the boredom of what you're consuming. I don't even like McDonald's.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't like the stuff. But there comes a point where I go, I need a McDonald's because I'm just sick and tired of eating carrots and celery and salad.
Yeah, but you can have lots of protein, Paul. You don't have to just eat carrots and celery to lose weight.
You can have
salmon and beef.
And chicken, but it still gets boring, is what I'm saying.
If you know your why, you wouldn't be bored.
Right.
Okay, so what will take you forward? Take us through the why, Bethany.
So for 2024, for example, you know, my why is I've just come from Pilates this morning. I'm swimming 70 lengths at the local pool in an hour. In fact, I went to 80 this week. I've just booked, and I don't think I've told Paul, but I'm actually Mind is my chosen charity for the Focus Mind, and I've just committed to doing a skydive next year.
You're mad.
My idea of hell, that. Yeah.
My idea, but it also is my why. Why am I doing it? Why do I want to do it?
Hold on, I want to know why she's doing this, because she's bonkers.
That's what I'm going to ask you, because, like, I've got a lot of friends that are doing this kind of thing, you know, in their 50s, 60s, you know, they're doing skydives and abseiling down buildings and all that, or jumping off things. I say to my husband, I don't need the adrenaline. I've had enough shocks in my life, various shocks, you know, throughout the world. I don't need the adrenaline. All I want is peace So for me, skydiving, I don't think it would help. But for you, why do you need it?
I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for everyone out there who has lost their life to suicide.
So you're doing it for charity?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm doing it because something has to change.
Like that before?
Nope.
Are you nervous?
Incredibly. Yeah. But I will breathe it through, and I will look at my why, and I will realise why I'm doing it.
Are you going to be strapped to someone when you do it?
Of course.
Okay.
There's
always a benefit somewhere, isn't there?
Who is she going to be strapped to?
Well, that's
you know, it could be anyone.
But there's potentially a benefit there for someone.
but my why is committing. Today I've committed to doing that because I've told on air that I will be doing it. And we're really, really excited. Can I just quickly say this as well? Part of, obviously, our nature therapy is to be out teaching people how to breathe in nature and come down and be calm. And I've just been in talks with Maidstone Borough Council. And next year, the walks between the 18th and the 24th of March, we've just had it agreed that we're going to offer walking with bubbles, which is basically we will be doing a 7.5 mile walk on the towpath from Teesdon along through Maidstone Town Centre.
Okay.
And it will be for people who have, particularly men's suicide, sadly, and for people that have lost their life. So it will be a walk that ideally we're hoping hoping for as many businesses to get involved as possible.
Okay.
Hopefully we can get some sponsorship. That's what we're looking to do. I know that we're looking for groups. So if it's a rugby team, football team, anyone. And as you said earlier, the building sites, you know, that's predominantly men orientated. And so this walk will be taking place and we want as many men and families to come down on the day.
You probably need to contact Genco, a building company in Maidstone. Yeah. They are very behind this kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're very at the forefront of mental health issues on building sites.
It
was their event that I was speaking at the other day that I mentioned. He's walking with Bubbles, you see. Who's Bubbles?
So we...
Bubbles De Vere.
Hopefully you'll be there, Paul. So part and parcel of, you know, as a child, you blew bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
The big bubbles, you can get them in the long water. Okay, so... You just smiled as soon as you said that.
Oh, I love a bubble.
Bubbles are amazing.
Like a bubble bath.
Yeah, you like bubble and squeak.
Yeah. But bubbles are actually used in therapy because you're actually breathing when you are blowing a bubble. You are breathing.
Mm.
So part of the walk will be we'll have small bubbles, we'll have wand bubbles, and we've also, hopefully, if we can get enough funding, we'll be having the big bubbles.
Right.
And we'll be doing a bubble release at the beginning of the walk and at the end of the walk. So.
Wasn't Bubbles a character in...
Bubbles De Vere in Little Britain. Bubbles De Vere. You must know me, darling.
Yeah.
Champagne for everybody.
Yeah, thank
Bubbles
you.
De Vere.
Yeah, that was the one.
Wouldn't be allowed now, I don't think, Little Britain. No. I used to love Little Britain.
And the Maidstone Walk is taking place in March?
The Kent Walking Festival, which is on every year anyway.
Right.
And we're actually going to be taking part on the Saturday, which is the 23rd. So it's a week of the 18th to 24th of March.
Okay.
And obviously they'll be advertising going out. But it's a 7.5K walk. You can come in and out of the walk as you want.
Are dogs allowed?
We're looking at finer details, but I would suggest yes, because it's along the towpath.
Darcy Graham would love that.
Yeah. But so it's from Teeston to Maidstone.
Yeah. So anyone that...
It's a lovely walk as well. Yeah. It's a lovely walk that along the Medway.
Yeah.
If people listen to this and want to find out more about the sponsorship, can I contact you about that?
They can indeed.
Have you got an email address I can email you?
Yeah, if you come through to info@bethanynightingale.com.
And Bethany also has a website, which is bethanynightingale.com.
Yeah. So feel free, or you can phone me, and then we can obviously talk further about the funding.
Do you want me to read out your number? So Bethany's number is 07949-764-941. That's 07949-764-941.
All of those details are on the Kent Business Radio website as well. So that's next year at Maidstone. Your next walk, though, is taking place from Herne...
Yeah, Herne Bay.
Herne Bay.
Yeah, that's on the 6th of January.
Herne Bay to...
We're doing Herne Bay Reculver, to Minas Bay.
Oh, Minas Bay,
And then also I'm doing a New Year's Day swim down in Broadstairs, which I did last year.
You're doing it in the sea?
I'm doing it in the sea.
Yeah.
It's blooming cold.
It's really cold.
It's not the cold, it's the sewage.
But cold, it's the sewage. We're not going in very deep.
No, at that time of year, the sewage is frozen, so it's fine.
So that's obviously on New Year's Day.
Lovely.
And I've also got a 10K run to do in Dimchurch.
She's gone mad. Right. She's gone mad.
She's doing it all together. The
she's
swim,
gone
the 10K
mad.
And the
she's
walk
gone
and
mad.
And look at the smile on my face.
I know.
and bubbles.
Have you done a swim? Have you done a New Year's swim before?
I did it last year.
I thought I remembered you doing something.
Well,
like that.
During lockdown,
on the Thanet News, didn't really want that,
right.
But we did get there.
During lockdown, I lived by the sea, and there were loads of people swimming, and then the dry robe became, you know, the thing to wear, didn't it? Everybody had a dry robe, and it's tailed off a bit now, but we still have a little group that go in every day.
Cold therapy is another.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if you're a rugby player, you go into a cold bath.
Ice baths,
it helps.
Stuff.
And inflammation is what causes heart disease and problems in the brain. So cold therapy is another way of being able to reduce everything down.
That's all you need, Paul Andrews.
And it gives you just
do you remember,
an ice bath.
I can't remember her surname. Ruth, the lady that runs the cryogenic...
Cryotherapy, was it?
Cryotherapy in Sevenoaks,
Cryotherapy, was it cryotherapy they call it?
Cryview... Cryojuvenate is the name of her company.
Yeah.
And it's a cabinet that freezes your nudges. Yeah.
She's on Twitter. She's on Twitter, actually.
Sorry?
She's on Twitter.
She is?
Yeah.
Cryojuvenate is her Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look her up.
Mm. So you've got those things taking place. If people want to book the January walk, can they do that through the same email address?
Info@BethanyNigel.com. It's on Eventbrite as well. So if they go onto Eventbrite, they'll be able to find the walk. And obviously, if someone wants to book me as a one-to-one session, we're offering 6-week sessions. So if they come through to me, we can get obviously the initial discovery call and then go from there. So that will either be life coaching or counselling for whatever subject. And if weight loss is on your mind for January, or giving up drinking, or whatever you want to do, you know, anything we can work with.
Okay.
I always find it interesting, you know, with Christmas, because, like, you know, the mince pies are everywhere, the chocolates are everywhere. You know, Christmas is really Christmas Day, maybe Christmas Eve, Boxing Day. You don't have to eat for 3 weeks, you know. And I always sort of toss out all the chocolates because I have them around when the kids come and that. But then I say, take them and get them out, you know, or give them away or whatever.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? Since in all the years that I've not drunk alcohol, I've never bothered about any of that other stuff either. It's just you don't tend to eat as much like that and rubbish if you're not drinking.
Well, having a hangover, as everybody knows, the next day you need carbs. You know, that's the only way to get through a hangover is, you know, toast and whatever floats your boat. But I'm a chocoholic. If I have chocolate, I will eat it. I have Bougie Bougie, which is quite a healthy chocolate, but it's expensive. Mm. So I used to know someone that made their own with cacao and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've lost track of her. She was in Whitstable and she came to my kitchen and we did a little workshop about 10 years ago as well. And of making healthy chocolate, which is great, you know, because cacao is good for you, you know.
I think in lockdown as well, you know, there was so much loneliness.
Oh.
And I think people just took what they could to try and make them feel better.
Yeah.
But inadvertently, it doesn't make you feel better.
No.
It makes you feel a lot worse.
And it formed a habit. Yeah. Lockdown formed
lots
habits.
Of habits.
I think that's entirely the essence of a lot of the problems that people face. Mm. Is you do things to try to mitigate your bad feelings to make yourself feel better, and it doesn't work. It makes you actually feel worse, but you get locked into doing it, so you've got a double whammy, really, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Beth, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
We wish you much success with all of this. You're bonkers.
The fly dive, the sky dive.
She's bonkers.
I like the walks and the cold water swimming, fab, can do that, but the skydive, no.
Maybe she could combine them. Perhaps skydive into the sea.
If I can come on the show to raise lots of money.
Of course you can.
That's the main objective.
Yeah, we will have you back in the new year.
Yep.
And you can do all your shout outs for raising money, both corporately and individually. More than welcome to do
how
that.
How long have you got to the news?
2 minutes.
Okay, so Martin Reeves is listening in up in his loft and he says, back in the 90s, I started counselling because of my pain. People ridiculed me for it though, and they thought I was weak and or mental, he's put in with an exclamation mark. It's more accepted these days, although many people I know think I'm weak for struggling. And he says, Dare is a good book to read for anxiety. You heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Dare.
And feel the fear, but do it anyway.
Yeah, I've just bought that, actually. Mm. Not that I'm anxious. I'm not an anxious
but
sort of person, but it's a good book to
Martin do. Makes a really good point there, especially with blokes.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things about construction sites.
Yeah.
Genco, for instance, the building company I just mentioned, they have a mental health section on all of their sites where you can go if you're struggling. But hairy ass builders never use them. Yeah. What they actually do is go to the pub and get drunk.
Yeah.
Because self-medication is how you do it. You probably all know that I'm a trustee of Kenwood Trust, which is a rehabilitation home for people with drink and drug addictions. And the vast majority of people that we see in that setting are people that have self-medicated by taking drink or drugs to try to overcome some of the mental anguish they suffer. And men especially, as Martin quite rightly says, it's seen as being weak.
Weak. And we didn't discuss drugs. We have a big drug problem in Whitstable, where I live, and Thanet. There's a huge amount of people in hospitality, long hours, cocaine, hash, you know, whatever it's called now.
That's why the walking with bubbles for me is so passionate. Because it's predominantly for men, because we need to change the culture. And I think nature therapy will allow men to come out into the wilderness with me, and we can work it out. That's
Beth
the
wants
message.
To go into the wilderness with a man.
yeah.
It's, and I think Christmas is a weird time of year. I had to go in a supermarket. I avoid supermarkets. I hate supermarkets. I went in and the music, you know, the Christmas music, if you're feeling down and you've got no money and it's just everywhere, isn't it? You know, and I just thought I was going mad just being in the supermarket.
Beth, thank you for that. You are more than welcome back early in the new year to do some fundraising on that. Thank you so much. We're going to join the newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to Rachel and discuss everything that Rachel's up to. So let's join the newsroom and then we'll be back shortly.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.